Hi, I'm Hungrybox, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 77, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 5th, 2017. The time, 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be one of the hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello. Joining me, I have my best tan friend, Anuj.
How are you, buddy?
Hello, hello.
It's a wonderful compliment.
Well, not many can carry the weight of that title. And that's you. My favorite white-skinned friend, Brett. What is up?
What's up, homie?
What's up?
What's up, Brett?
Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Keep up with the show and do what all the cool kids are doing on Twitter. And make sure you are doing everything you are to make sure the show lives on in perpetuity. Follow us on Instagram. We got a Discord. All that fun stuff. And you can discover all of it on our website, tcr.gg. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to set the stage up too high. But this might be the best episode ever. Episode 77. We got the E-League premiere. That is starting next Tuesday. We are going to preview the teams that qualified for the playoffs. We're going to dive into the salt mine. It's been a while, I know. But I'm salty. And I got to set you esports nerds straight. And we'll do that in the salt mine. But to start the show, oh, and of course, we're going to end with e-news. You know that. That is a staple. But to start the show, if you felt a little funny today or maybe late last night, that's our fault. I apologize. If it felt like the world maybe slowed down, maybe it was off a rotation, okay, off its axis, that's our fault, okay? We had to push the show back one day because I had to go to an Andrew WK concert, which is why my voice sounds a little hoarsed. But in doing so, we disrupted the timeline.
Okay? We did.
Because normally we do the show on Wednesdays, and then show it, the news breaks after we record, and we got to wait a week, and we're out of date. But by pushing it back, the next CSGO major was announced today, and we get to actually talk about it the same day big news is broke.
It feels weird. Like, I feel a little funny inside. Just, I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm telling you could have just played it off as like inside sources.
Yeah.
This was gonna happen.
It's just that's what it was. Our sources told us, hey, wait a day. Wait a day, guys. Don't record on Wednesday. No, so it's actually pretty awesome. You know, it's funny because Counter-Strike is the only esport that I know that leaves you in the dark on when its biggest events are going to be.
You know, it's
roughly
it's only 2 months away, right? No, 3 months.
Months. Yeah.
That's plenty of time.
Three and a half, right? Oh, there will be zero visa issues here. There's. Don't even worry about those. Oh, you want a visa during the holidays? No big deal. Just send it on in. That's not going to be delayed at all.
They basically were saying some of them needed to start doing their visa paperwork within the next week, and that's counting today for them.
So if, in case you don't know, okay, maybe you don't follow Twitter, I don't know. But the next Counter-Strike major was announced today, and it was awarded by Valve to E-League. So E-League is going to get its second shot at a major. This time, though, it won't be in Atlanta at the Fox Theater. It's going to be in Boston, at the, I guess I'm saying this right, the Agnes Arena, which is on the campus of Boston University, apparently. And it's where their hockey team plays. They hold concerts there. I mean, it's, you know, it's an arena.
Cozy.
Yeah, it's cozy would be the correct word because it's a college arena, right? So it's not going to be any of this huge stadium atmosphere like you are used to.
It's
not
going to
be a professional team stadium.
Right. So I guess let's start the discussion there. Okay. I know we have beefs with it being in January. I know we have beefs the fact that we are left in the dark and then it's like, hey, make plans 3 months later. That's kind of just per the course now, though, when it comes to Valve and the way they handle Counter-Strike. You know, we get two majors, right? I think 1 year we maybe got three. But
that's, and that was accidental.
It's normal now where we get two majors, one in the summer and one in January, give or take, the winter. And my wife just texted me they're having a sale on Rockstar energy drinks and
amazing.
If I want more. So this is important business here. But so we'll get into the scheduling and how Valve handles it. We've complained about it before on the show, so it's nothing new.
Yeah,
this is what throws
that horse.
What's that? Yeah, right, exactly. The one thing that doesn't make sense to me is I feel like, and maybe we kind of speculated in the pre-show, Anuj, that maybe the setup is going to be different, right? Maybe it's going to be a really badass setup at Agnes Arena. But this stadium, Brett, do you know how many this seats?
8,000, right? Like 8,500 or something like that?
That's actually not that. That's not that far off. According to Google, 7,500.
And we assume probably about an extra 1,000 seats for floor seats that they can add on and whatnot, where usually the ring would be. But yeah, I mean, that is a smaller stadium than we're used to. I mean, you've seen ESL 1 Cologne. It's had 14,000 fans there. You mentioned earlier Columbus had about 10,000 fans. So they're definitely going to be losing some of the fanfare on site. But I think the spectacle could be pretty awesome with the smaller arena. It'll look great for like viewership-wise. It'll be packed. And, you know, in those college campuses, the arena, like the fans feel like they're right on top of you. You don't feel that far away from the players. So I think it could be a really neat setup. And I'm sure E-League has some pretty great stuff in mind because they've done a good job in the past.
Yeah, and Tim, I know you have experience with, you know, a major, but, you know, my real only LAN experience with a small venue was ESL Pro League. And I felt like that was a good atmosphere. Like it was loud and people got involved and it felt pretty cool. So, I mean,
My counter to that, though, is you just compared a major to ESL Pro League.
To ESL Pro League, yeah. Like, I mean, you're right. I mean, there's still a big tournament. I mean, it's still a big tournament, but no, I see what you're saying. But to me, I just want it to be electric. Like, I can give up a little bit of crowd size if the atmosphere is cool, right?
Yeah. If it looks good, if
it
runs smooth.
ESL Pro League was 6,300 is the max capacity at Verizon Grand Prairie.
Right.
I don't think any seats were blocked off over there, right? I mean, that was pretty much just a packed house from top to
bottom. No, that was full.
For what was open, they did block off the very top level.
Yeah.
The very, very top level.
So they knocked it down, let's just say, even 4,500 to 5,000.
Well, no, I think that's how much was there.
Oh, 6,300?
Yeah.
Is what was there.
Is what was there.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that this is a major.
Because I think the capacity of that stadium was like
12,000. 8,000, 8,500, you know, kind of probably at max, you would assume. They're also going to have the booth and something set up, I'm sure, that would take away from seating.
Yeah.
But again, I have faith in E-League.
If
I feel
presentation
like,
is good,
yeah.
I mean, you're right. I shouldn't be harping on the crowd size. I guess it's better than if they tried getting a 20,000 seat
and
arena
15,
and then
000.
It didn't
yeah.
fill up. That would look even worse.
Yeah, that would look bad.
I think combined with the location, it feels like a good fit for a location for a major. The issue we had, or I had at least, was the timing of the major, right? Being, what was it, January 18th through the 20th or 21st, right around there. The average temperature in Boston at that time is a high of 35 and a low of 22. That's pretty freaking cold, dude. Like, that's...
Those Euros will feel at home.
That's going to be rough getting around. I don't know about you
Danish
guys,
the Danish
players
but... are going to be like, man, feels good.
Yeah, I don't... It's inside. I'm assuming that's Valve. Yeah, it's not like it's the Super Bowl or something where they got to worry about it.
For the tournament, right? It's like, but for when you're in those locations, a lot of people are coming from out of town, including the players and all that. So to be able to like kind of get around comfortably, enjoy the city, get to experience Boston as a city, I don't think you're really going to get that in the middle of January.
Well,
sure
you're going to experience
cool
Boston. you're going to get Boston in the winter, that's for sure. I know one thing here that we kind of talked about on the Discord and in our show chat was the fact that with only two majors and the fact that it's sporadic and when they go, I mean, yes, there's a pattern, but It's random, yeah. Right? Like, let's face it. It's a random...
Everything about it is random up until it's announced.
Yes. It minimizes or diminishes the legendary status, right? When the fact that, you know, Immortals is still, what, one roster spot away from...
No, they don't have it anymore.
Did they lose it?
Yeah, because they lost three players. You have to have three.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So they lost their legendary status.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of these teams are going to look completely different from when they were there last time.
Fnatic's one player away from losing their spot. You know, Gambit's one roster shuffle away, or, you know, somebody getting, you know, a Na'Vi shuffle taking some of these Gambit players away from losing theirs. So, yeah, I mean, 6 months is so long in esports, you know? I mean, that's the issue I have is 6 months in time, the amount of roster changes we talk about on a, you know, monthly basis, I feel like we're talking about roster spots at least majority once a month, you know?
Majority of the time, what we talk about is roster moves.
Big moves. So... Yeah, 6 months in between for the way legendary status is seems a little weird. Qualifiers end 4 days prior to the major starting. I think that's a little odd, too. It feels like it's, like, super rushed right up until the time, you know, you're going to start playing in the major. So just interesting how they do it. I mean, I don't like it. It feels too random.
Well, I guess VP has a weigh-in now, right?
Well, they were like VP was legendary.
Yeah, VP is legend. So.
Yeah.
Oh, they were.
Yeah. Right. No, yeah. They got legendary status.
They
in
were
the major.
What? Third and fourth place.
Yeah, they were third and fourth. That was the running gag is that VP will show up for the major to get legendary status and then they'll goof off in between.
It's weird seeing them in Premier. Have you seen these matches?
No.
It's just weird.
Are they performing well?
Yeah, they're winning. Yeah. But it's just like, I don't know, to see a team of that caliber.
Surprised they're doing it.
Yeah.
Probably that they probably realized.
Dude, the organization probably wants them in Pro League. That's a big deal, right? Not to be in like ESL Pro League.
Now you were saying something then to me earlier that it's conflicting with something. So the major is January 19th.
Yeah. So the major is conflicting with like a couple different things. It looks like the E-League Asia Minor clashes with ESL Australia. So that's going to be a big event. It's going to be Australia's like first. I mean, I believe maybe first or second. Big event for them. It also clashes with the ROG Masters, which is supposed to be like the ROG equipment, you know, hardware. Their tournament is also that weekend, and there's regional finals at the same time. So there's just a lot happening right around that time of it's, and this is the E-League TV, like the Asia Minor is right. Clashing with it. So their scheduling is just running over other tournaments, and players aren't going to miss out on a chance to
obviously, be at a major.
Be at a major. So look at who this affects the most. Ty Lue just picked up, who was it? Bondic on loan. And they picked him up for that tournament that's the same weekend. So basically the guy they just got on loan for their tournament, they have to go ahead and drop him because they're not going to be able to use him in the E-League minor. So I don't know. Their timing just doesn't help anybody. It just seems to hurt people pretty consistently.
That's a constant storyline, though, when it comes to the majors, though.
At least with Valve, for
Valve majors, with dealing with Counter-Strike, of course, where the qualifiers are always overlapping and teams are flying from across the world in a week and expected to play, and that's kind of one of people's complaints is that, you know, these teams are going to be worn out. There's a reason why teams after the last major took a month off.
Didn't they have
like
the clash with Cologne?
They took off before a major, like teams will...
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Cologne. ESL won, right?
Astralis took off Cologne.
Yeah,
but then I'm saying, after the major, all the teams took a month off.
Yeah. But I'm saying, look, it affected one of the biggest tournaments. That's a non-major tournament, right? ESL won Cologne, mm-hmm. And you have like top teams not going to it. That's a problem. I mean, Valve should worry about that, and it feels like they just don't.
No, they don't. No, Valve does not. And it's getting harder and harder with the way they handle these things. That they, I don't know, I always question on what is going through Valve's mind, right? They're one of the most, especially with the way they handle Counter-Strike, is like, they're just one of the most least transparent company out there.
Yeah. Then I mean, look at what's new in the game. I'm not saying you have to change the meta to the game, right? Counter-Strike is a beautiful game the way it's played. I mean, it's really, really good, and that's why it does... as well as it does, but not adding like new maps, you know, like bring new maps into the pool, bring Dust 2 back into the pool.
They're doing the opposite. They're taking away maps.
Yeah, you know, and then, like, the Smoke Molly bug. Like, these are little things that have just been ongoing issues for so long, and they don't have to do a lot to make us happy, I feel. Like I said, Counter-Strike fans, we ask for a lot of people bitch about a lot of different things, but the game's in a pretty good state where it's at. They just need to, like, bring some, like, flavor or freshness to the game.
I know we'll probably talk about this in a future episode in great detail, because I know you've mentioned it that, you know, the shelf life for Counter-Strike, is it getting stale, right? I don't think as far as, like, pro scene and competition-wise, it's not getting stale, but, like, is Valve doing anything to look 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, right? Where, on the flip side, you have the Overwatch League, and how Blizzard is handling that is... You can see they're doing it to cement it, the future of Overwatch.
Look, viewership numbers will just show you that the pro scene for CS is doing amazing. Okay, the pro scene is in probably the best shape it's ever been in. But as far as viewership numbers, people are kind of craving something else. PUBG, Fortnite, like these other games that have come out, they're getting people in the millions, not like thousands, right? I mean, we're talking millions. Fortnite on day one had a million players come and try it out, and it's because people just want something new, and Counter-Strike hasn't offered that. And like I said, that could be a whole conversation.
Yeah,
for
I don't
want to
dive
but,
full
yeah.
into it, but
yeah, I mean, it's just be something fun to get into.
And their attempts at adding, you know, new maps recently has kind of fell short with that god awful.
Oh man, what I you know yeah. I forgot the name. I don't even remember the name of it. It was so bad.
I really don't even remember.
Canals,
that's right.
Was so... you're right, though. The one time they add a map, it's like they did zero testing on it. They got zero opinion. They just made it and thought, this works.
The funny thing is there's like this six or seven loved maps that people are dying for them to add back, and yet they bring in some BS like that from the outside, and it just
doesn't
puts everybody
work.
On tilt. Anyways, the point of this whole thing is just Valve doesn't seem to have their crap together at the end of the day when it comes to whether it's getting a major or taking care of their game. They just don't do things either in a timely fashion or in any way make the community think that they care about what's going on in the scene as a whole.
And all this started from, again, them announcing the next major. So the next major, if you didn't hear again, is E-League. I just went into like live radio mode there.
Yeah, I felt
like,
that.
I was about
I
to say
it.
Like if you weren't here, it's a podcast, Tim. What are you doing? Oh man!
If you're just joining us,
yeah, I was just about to say like if you're just joining us, the E-League Major. This isn't live. The E-League Major is going to be in Boston starting January 19th at the Agnes Arena on Boston University College campus. It's going to be cool. We're going to try.
No pun intended.
Going. Maybe we'll be there.
50-50.
It's right after the new year, which is kind of tough. I love. I mean, I went to Columbus just to watch, and that was at like the very beginning of the podcast. I just did it because it's fun. If you make a trip out of it, it's not as bad.
Yeah,
you can convince the wives that hey, we're taking a bro trip, or maybe you bring the wife. We're gonna go see Boston, and then we've got business to do.
Well, if I'm gonna do that, then. January is probably the time to do it for me.
Yeah, oh yeah, for you with the little one on its way.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Put your foot down. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
You tell her what's up. You tell her who runs that house. You tell her who runs that house. But, but you know, as we were talking about Valve, I was getting a taste in my mouth, Anuj. A taste.
Was it the curry that I had earlier today?
Did you really have curry?
I did.
That wasn't like just a
no,
racist
it wasn't
joke
racist,
on yourself?
No, not at all. I had okay. butter chicken just... and I had butter paneer.
Wow.
So good.
Look at you. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
No. I was culture. Tasting salt.
Oh, geez.
And it reminds me that we got to dive into the salt mine.
It's been a while.
It's been too long. The salt has built up and we just got to knock some of it out. And this is what I am salty about right now, okay? And for those who maybe not know it, the salt mine is a weekly segment. One day we'll have production for it, maybe a nice little open. Today's not that day. But it's where it's a safe place where one of us has something to complain about, and you just got to listen to it. It might be an irrational anger, but it's something I got to get off my chest, okay?
It's a safe place.
It's a safe place.
It's where Tim was also born, if you don't know Tim. He comes from the salt
this
mines.
This is true. I was born in the salt. No, so this all started last week, probably over the weekend, when the NFL, everyone knows the NFL has this protest going on where players are kneeling, doing something during the national anthem, and people are claiming they're protesting and not watching the NFL, and viewership numbers is going down. Whatever. Move on from that. I saw a post on the esports subreddit where it was a meme, a bad one, but it was the Star Wars one where it showed the Sith Emperor kind of going like, good, good, given to the hate whatever that is. And the title of the post was, esports fans, or my face when the NFL viewership is dropping for esports, or whatever. You get the idea, right? They were trying to make a connection, and he backed off and said it was a joke or whatever, but I don't think it was, where it was saying that the NFL losing viewers is good for esports. Okay? I have two, and I understand it was like a small population on Reddit that was saying this, but it's not just this one post that I'm going to complain about. It's a lot of the esports community as a whole has this issue where they feel like they have to be like the gatekeeper, or it's some club, or it's us against the world, right? Like
us against normal sports.
Exactly. Like it's almost like, oh, well, let's see. I guess I don't like football anymore. What would be the next logical thing to go into? You know what? I've never heard of Dota 2. I think I'll watch Dota 2. Let me get on this esports craze going on. That's not the case. I can promise you, the people, the age group that care enough to protest the NFL is not the same age group that cares about esports.
Yeah.
It's not. And no, you're not going to get anyone into esports to care about esports with that type of attitude of like, look at you, traditional sports, you're losing viewers. It's such an idiotic argument.
People need to understand we're the same but different, right? So when it comes to sports, we should treat ourselves like a regular sport, like as you would treat the way we watch football. I watch Counter-Strike the same way like I watch the Cowboys, you know? So we should treat ourselves the same way, but understand the fan base is also very different at the same time, and that's okay.
Yeah,
most of these fans, I don't even want to say most. I mean, there's probably a good half and half number that follow both esports and traditional sports such as ourselves. But it's okay if you don't. You just don't have to treat them like they're not in the same like world as one another. They're both sports at the end of the day, and I think that's what we want, right?
Yeah, and if you wanted to keep it with traditional sports and quote-unquote traditional sports, if I'm a fan of football and I don't really watch baseball, I'm not going to be like, you know, I'm not going to go and watch baseball because people are protesting football. That doesn't happen. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like
there's a niche fan base here. There's a niche fan base here. I'm not going to go to another major sport because
your favorite is having issues.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you who's happy about that is maybe college football, right? Like, that's the closest that would come to making sense is like college football could be like, well, these people that are not going to watch the NFL are maybe going to come and watch
college
football if they didn't watch us as much. Or instead of making Sunday their football day, maybe they're making Saturday their football day, you know? So that would be the only...
It's just the correlation of if one viewership drops...
The other one
will raise just instantly. Like, there's just no other place for these guys to get entertainment from, right? Don't even look at other esports, or don't look at traditional sports. Look at other esports, right? The people who necessarily follow Dota, okay, or MOBAs in general, right? Let's say for whatever reason, people were sick of Riot and they stopped watching League of Legends. That does not mean Counter-Strike viewership is going to go up. It might mean Dota 2 is going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, by no means is one game's death. You, first off, you shouldn't cheer for that. If you're into esports at all, you should want, at this point in the game, as much fans as you can in any way, right? You don't have to be this gatekeeper white knight of esports. The scene does not need it. And I don't think the majority of the scene wants it.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't say it any better. I agree. I just don't think... I think most people, again, understand this. There's a small, maybe like a...
Right.
A group of people that this is really focused towards, but you're seeing more and more of it, and it's just more clearing the air of how we feel.
The other thing, all within the same post on the subreddit for esports, is the same guy, his counterpoint, or one of his arguments to me, was the fact that maybe with people not watching football, the networks will look, be like, well, our ratings are going down. We need to maybe get something else on there like esports to bump them up. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard at this point in my life. Like, seriously. And this is coming from, we do an esports podcast. Like, I don't want people to think that we're against esports growth or the fact that it can't compete with football ratings or anything like that. That's not, like, I would love it, right? But I'm also not a moron.
We see it in your line of work. I mean, you're at a radio station.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason there's not a 24/7 esports show on there for them, or even a weekly, you know, show that goes off that's consistently about esports. They're, like, just different.
Doesn't the...
Just let it happen.
Yeah,
let it
just let it happen. It's nothing... It's not a personal attack on esports that a network might be like, no, not right now, right? But people take it so personal. Like, if you're a fan of esports, some fans take it so personal. And it's like, look, it's a business. It's not that they're against it. It's the same argument of, like, all these companies getting into esports now, right? It's not like all of a sudden they found newfound respect for esports or anything like that. They saw the money.
Yeah.
They saw the potential to get money, and that's why
there's a reason
here.
Turner Sports didn't do this 5 years ago.
Right.
Counter-Strike's been around for 15 years, people. 20 years now.
You think the Kraft family just secretly was a huge esports fan? And they just thought, finally, I have a chance to get in.
J-Lo and Marshawn Lynch started all of a sudden playing Overwatch during retirement. You know,
this game is great.
I've been wanting to do this all along. No, it's a ridiculous statement. And first off, okay, and you know, I'm almost out of the salt mine, but I feel like the deeper I go, the more... I just get stuck in. The NFL ratings are dropping from what was a all-time mind-blowing record high number. They had nowhere else to go but down.
Yep.
Esports, on the flip side, really had nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
So if you're going to come at me with these numbers, be prepared to back them up. Don't give me percentages. I don't want... Well, esports viewership has gone up 100% in the last year. Of course it did, because it started from such a low number.
Technically, the NFL's down, like, what, 10 to 15%, I think, this year. They're still destroying every other sport out there in terms of viewership. So any other sport would die to be in NFL's position, even at a 10 to 15% drop. So they're just different ballparks.
So here's some numbers for you that I countered to this guy, where... So last week, I was like, Thursday night football between Green Bay and the Chicago Bears was an 8.9 rating. That's roughly 15 million people. And to keep that in mind, that was like a 3% drop from the, you know, the regular average number for Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Okay. So like a 3% drop still has 15 million viewers. The highest viewer count for E-League was 400,000 for Season 2 Group D.
I mean, even for online viewership, the numbers are drastically different. You can go to the most watched CS event, and it's like, what, 1.4 million or something?
Yeah.
You know,
which,
I mean,
again, is amazing for Counter-Strike.
Yeah, it was celebrated.
Esports.
It should be.
As it should be, that is a ridiculous number. But if you bring that to the table of the executives of Fox or NBC and say, so I heard football is losing viewership. Why don't you give this a try? And you just slide it across the table. They'll be like, oh, 1 million. Gee.
Thanks.
Thanks. We'll call you, buddy.
You go to CBS, like, hey, CBS, you know, football's ratings down. Thursday night football? That with Thursday night counter.
You know who would be interested? TBS on Friday night at 10 o'clock.
That's a good slot.
That's called a segue, guys.
That is exactly... Who would do it? right? When they have that time. There's a reason it's on TBS at 10 o'clock at night on a Friday. They had nothing to lose. Again, love it. I applaud TBS. My hats are off to them because I love esports on TV.
If one of you listeners can tell me what they bumped off of that time slot, I'll PayPal you like $50.
Big Bang
like
reruns.
Right now. If I
That's
get a tweet
in
the next 5 minutes, like
Big
what
Bang reruns.
Off. Tim just lost the money.
So
I said listener.
Sorry.
Tim's never listened.
No, I don't listen to this show. Are you kidding? I got better things to do. Speaking of E-League, though, the premiere 2017 wrapped up. Officially not Season 3. I don't know if E-League ditched seasons. I don't have sources like that. But this was the E-League CSGO premiere 2017. The regular season, or whatever you want to call, wrapped up. Pool play, I guess we'll say. Wrapped up at the end of September, just last week. And they're getting right into it. No real delay. Next Tuesday is the playoffs. And I'm not going to lie. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good little setup here.
Starts off with Cloud9 playing G2.
Cloud9 G2, man. That's turning into a bit of a rivalry, I feel.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
Cloud9 should take a couple more games off of them, hopefully, but
I'm worried for Cloud9, man. They struggled against Misfits
Rogue
today. Or Rogue. Was it Rogue today?
Yeah. Rogue took them to
They
overtime.
Got destroyed. They lost today. Well, destroyed is... Okay.
They got dominated by
rewind?
Two players.
Exactly.
They got dominated by Allege and Twist.
They lost Allege Twist. They played a really good game against Liquid, but lost to Allege and Twist.
They shut JDM down.
That ain't hard.
Yeah, they did.
That's
oh,
not,
JDM was terrible.
9-20
that's
today.
Not hard.
No,
to
but yeah, Allege and Twist, I think Allege had 38, Twist had 36. They both went insane on Cloud9. I think Cloud9 is going to have a tough time. I mean,
I think they
just
will,
I don't see this, you know, being the outcome that they're going to be looking for here.
No, so they're playing G2 first round of the quarterfinals. Then you have pretty juicy matchup. This I would say is somewhat of a rivalry, Astralis and Fnatic.
Yeah,
Fnatic's
new roster,
lately, right?
Fnatic's new roster has been up and down. They've had a couple of good wins, and then they've you know recently I believe they're even dropped out of some of the qualifiers that have just happened. So I think they're out of Epicenter's qualifier, if I'm not mistaken.
They're top of E-League,
but
ESL Pro League. Right?
Yeah, they've been playing well as a whole in Pro League. I think recently they just ran into some struggles. Astralis has also not been top form either, though. So I mean, I think that'll be a good matchup just for the simple fact.
I was actually just about to. That was going to be my statement in this matchup. Is that really since they won the major, since they won E-League major, they. It's been a
letdown. It's been a semifinals. They're back to their old Astralis ways.
Yeah. They went from Astralis being number one in the world to Astralis.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of taken me. Like, I thought it was going to be Astralis and SK and then everybody else. You know, just the parity being just everyone else fighting for
phase.
Or whatever. Well, I'm talking about before the phase roster change. Like, I thought Astralis, after they won that major, like, they're about to, like, blast off. And they're just going to be this juggernaut. But you're right. They've kind of been inconsistent.
They've just been stale.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to do it. They're stale. That's the word I will use to describe Astralis. You mentioned, though, I'll use this. I'll skip one matchup, though, to get to the point. Because Brett just brought up the fact that he thought it was going to be Astralis and SK. SK didn't even qualify.
Nope.
They lost to Heroic. So it was the group. They were in Group D. Astralis ended up winning Group D. And it came down to Heroic and SK to make it out of groups. And SK ended up beating them 2-1. I'm not going to lie. I don't really follow Heroic probably as much as one should. So every time they end up, you know, performing at a DreamHack event or E-League for matter, I'm always surprised, especially against SK.
Heroic's pulled off a couple, and I don't have their recent matches right in front of me, unfortunately. But they've been playing well. They stay very competitive in their games. They got some good firepower. So they've been playing pretty good. Still, they should have never, I don't think, beat SK or knocked them out. But Heroic has been fairly consistent. And, you know, when they're losing, they're usually not getting crushed. I think they just had a hard match against FaZe recently. But other than that, they've been playing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, lately, maybe before, like, September, like middle of September, it looks like they were playing pretty well. Recently, they've been beaten by Fnatic, SK, Astralis, and Hellraisers.
As I say, man, they
just
And Hellraiser's like been on fire. Hellraiser played very well today. Like, they played really, really good. Is it just me, or does North always feel like they get on the easy side of the bracket? I don't know if I just feel that way. Maybe I have some anti-North sentiment. I don't know what it is, but I always feel like they have a little bit of an easier run.
Well, I mean, wasn't that the argument for ESL Dallas? They were saying, people said that North had the easy run.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. It seems that way.
And I know it's random, but it's just, I mean, they should have been playing SK in that spot, so we would have totally went against that statement. Although SK has also been struggling, hence why they're not in this tournament, or, you know, in the playoff brackets here. This looks like an easy pick for me, though. I mean, through this side of the bracket, I feel. I mean, you have the next team we haven't talked about.
FaZe Clan and Team Envious, which I hope you think FaZe Clan is the easy pick.
Yeah, I mean, well, Envious has been playing amazing on LAN. Their LAN record as of recent, they have been so hot. I mean, they've played really, really well. Again, the reason being why they put themselves at this point. Envious Online is like VP Online. They're terrible. They need to figure out a way to fix that. FaZe is obviously the favorite in this matchup, though. Going into it, they are playing so well right now. I think they had a tough game today, maybe one against Hellraisers, if I'm not mistaken, earlier. But FaZe is playing really good. They need to play well in these big tournaments, though. They've kind of bombed out of the last few and dominated a lot of these online matches. They need to kind of run through some of these tournaments to assert their dominance, especially with the team that they have. I feel like everybody else is slipping a little bit right now, you know?
I feel like that's just kind of, in general, the scene right now. I mean, I'm blanking right now, but what was the big tournament phase? ESL New York.
Yeah.
I mean, they performed really well at ESL New York, but that was the finals where they dominated Liquid.
Yeah, like, go give us, like, a back-to-back performance here, you know? Like, again, these teams are showing it in spurts, but it's always nice to kind of have that one consistent team that everybody's going after, right? There's always nice to have that villain or that superpower that everyone's chasing.
Realistically, though, this is the first time they have a chance to go back-to-back.
Yeah, I think it's a really good chance. I mean,
but, I mean, before they were terrible at DreamHack Masters Malmo.
Yeah.
Then they won ESL New York, and now this is the first tournament after that. So, I mean, this is still such a young roster with FaZe to...
They're playing a lot of CS together now, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the season has picked up. We were just talking about this before the show. There's game after game after game after game right now going on. You have Epicenter qualifiers, ESL Pro League. I mean, you have so much happening with E-League. I mean, it was just, there's been a lot of CS going on. So that team at this point doesn't have a reason to not be gelling. I think Optic still has that reason. I think they're much fresher in that sense, and it's all new players there. But FaZe has an in-game leader that's good at what he does, that has set strats at this point. You know, I feel like they should find some consistency here.
We'll see. We'll see. It starts on Tuesday, October 10th, right around the corner. Yeah. Should be a good one, though. Who do you have winning the whole thing, then? I have FaZe winning it all. I think it's good teams on there, but I think when you're looking at all of them,
I think we'll see FaZe G2 in the finals, and I could see FaZe. I would see FaZe taking it. I mean, it would take them ultimately to win it, but I think we would see like a FaZe G2 finals.
I agree with that.
Probably have like an Astralis FaZe final with FaZe winning. You can't really go against FaZe right now.
No, especially on that side of the bracket.
They're pretty well favored.
Yeah, they got the easy run.
I mean, because what, they beat Envious, and then they're either playing Heroic or North. So I mean, even then, you're going to pick FaZe. So FaZe will, one way or the other, be there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if North or Heroic are playing well. You take FaZe in that matchup either way.
All right, let's get into some e-news here and send episode 77 off into the sunset. We do have, speaking of just match after match in Counter-Strike, IEM Oakland has been officially settled. Pretty good lineup here. You got Astralis, Cloud9, FaZe, G2. Kind of seem to be in every tournament now. You got Gambit. Immortals was invited. That was probably before they decided to mess that one up. You have Liquid, Nip, SK. Those were all the invited teams. And then as far as qualifiers, you had Envious qualify through the European, Optic Gaming qualify through North American, and then the Mongrels through East and the Sea.
Man.
Pretty solid lineup for a tournament there. IEM Oakland normally always is a good tournament because it's actually turned into a
turned into a big tournament.
Yeah, it's turned into a premier tournament.
Yeah.
counts towards
the
intel.
On Twitter, they look forward to this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them have been tweeting about it.
It kind of kicks off the season, they feel, in their way. Like, it's the first real, like, kickoff into a very busy season of Counter-Strike. Like, right now we have a lot of qualifiers and stuff. I don't think they really feel that. But after IEM, you kind of just kind of get rolling from big tournament to big tournament, so...
They are also having PUBG at IEM Oakland this year. Looks like there are some invites here. You got Luminosity, TSM, Liquid, and Noble. You said, though, this one is a first-person one?
No, I was asking if it was.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't heard whether it's going to be... I follow a lot of the pros on Twitter, and they are, like, it's FPP. I don't even know why we're arguing, you know, third-person. If it's not FPP, you know... They're just outraged.
Yeah. So it is right here. First person. FPP. PUBG is getting a 200,000 first person squads event at IEM Oakland. So it is FPP.
Yeah. Okay. So. Good.
There you go. The power of Google. It lets us know. Yeah. So I think, you know, like you were saying, it's still, the last time I played, it was still pretty buggy, but whatever. It's there. So it's going to happen.
It's popular right now.
Right. Overwatch could do. Pro teams and tournaments and beta, they can do it now. We've learned that there is no standard to when you can start doing tournaments.
Early access
esports.
Doesn't really mean a whole lot anymore.
No. Speaking of Overwatch, last week we were talking about how cool it would be if they just had a giant announcement of all the team names.
Well, good news.
At BlizzCon,
they listened to our show.
Well, at BlizzCon,
and they were like, "That's a terrible idea. Let's announce them randomly on Twitter."
just announce them randomly at all hours of the day.
Go against exactly what they said and just throw them out at like 11
in
the morning.
No formality to this at all.
None whatsoever.
So you did add some. Shanghai broke the ice. So now you have the Shanghai Dragons. Okay, that's all right. You have rumored for the LA Gladiators. Apparently that ownership group is trying to copyright the name so one can assume they will be there.
Yep.
And then our hometown, Dallas, they announced their team today, the Dallas Fuel. So that is their official WNBA team there. So
I feel like we're being harsh, but I mean, I bet it's 50-50. Like, I was curious after you had that conversation with me. I looked on their Twitter to get reactions, and there was not one comment of, like, this is a stupid name. Why are you naming your team this? So I don't know. We'll see.
So Brett basically loves the name. He thinks it's like genius creative.
I didn't say I love it.
Like
I did.
Godly kind of name.
It.
We don't know. We don't even know where they came from with that.
It'll grow on me, and I like it.
But again,
I
at the end of the day, all of these names will grow on us, right? Like there's a lot of stupid names in all major sports, and it's like whatever it'll end up doing, right? I felt like it lacked creativity.
I was just
personally.
I don't know what I was wanting, but it wasn't Dallas Fuel.
Like I think it's a stereotypical. First of all, Houston's like the oil capital, right? So maybe like Optic Fuel would have sounded
and
cool.
I understand that they named it after like one of the owners. The main backer is like a energy fueled guy, whatever. So that's where they got the name from. But what he was a farmer. Were you going to name it the Dallas Farmers? Like. I don't know if naming your team after your biggest money backer is normally a good strategy.
Again, the fella is
a team name. I don't really
don't hate
the day,
it. Like don't hate
care.
It, but I just don't care about it.
I'm gonna give you a C. Okay.
Yeah.
You pass.
What do you give the Dragons?
I'm gonna give them an A-.
I like it too.
Because I like so. This is what I like when it comes to like a team name. I was hoping for something that related to the area, right? Something to where if I was in Texas, if I was in Dallas, I would already have some connection to the team, right? Shanghai Dragons, though, stereotype. Okay, you did it to yourself, Shanghai.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay
don't
though.
Blame
I think
me.
I think
don't blame me.
It can make a cool jersey,
okay.
Cool logo.
They do have a cool logo. I like it. I like the Shanghai Dragons. Dallas Fuel, not so much. Not so much. And then in other, you had HBox defeated Armada.
What's the logo? Just
it's like a fire thing.
Flames? Was their logo?
I think it says it's like the actual word fuel with like flames coming out of it. Let's take a look.
G Fuel has been announced as the first sponsor.
It's just the word fuel with like a
in
fire
Castro.
Coming off the L.
But if they're going to keep the same sponsors is envious. I guess Monster has it, I guess.
We'll see. We'll see, man. It's we'll see. Dallas Fuel.
Yeah.
It won't be the last time we make fun of that name.
Anyways, back to HBox.
But you had HBox. He did defeat Armada to win the Game Tyrant Expo for Super Smash Bros. Melee. So that was a pretty good matchup, actually. I watched some of that tournament.
Your boy Mango even gave him some props, so I guess he won.
Which is saying something when Mango gives HBox some props.
Because they go at it all the time on Twitter.
Yes, they do.
It's fun.
Yes, they do. Just like we're going to go at it to the end of the show. That is it for episode 77 of the Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I thank you all for listening. Whether or not you skipped around, either way, I appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter.
Or if you tuned in live.
Or if you, yeah, you know, because in my brain, we were live on air. When you're a professional, you just can't turn it off, Anuj.
It's all day, baby. It's all day.
You just can't turn it off. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You'll be caught up to date on the show, all that fun news, everything there. You can follow us on Discord. We got a good little following there. We talk about esports and in general, just stuff.
Gaming, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's a chill Discord. It's not just esports in there. So come hang out with us. We're cool. We're normally hanging out in voice chat as well. Come say hi. It's not weird. Unless you're weird, then I guess it could be weird.
What if you make it weird?
But again, at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. Until then, we will be back next week to talk about some E-League premiere, I'm sure. And anything else that breaks. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.